الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله Please also repeat after me, Nawaitu Sunnat al-Aitikaf. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has reported to have said that the one who sends 100 salat upon me, Allah azza wa jalla writes between his two eyes that this person is free from hypocrisy and is free from the hellfire, and on the day of judgment he will be raised with the martyrs. Sallu ala al-Habib. Please, my dear Muslims, please make intention to try and recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as much as possible. Who knows, that one extra Durood-e Pak that you recite today might make all the difference on the day of judgment. It is narrated that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that it is not permissible for any Muslim to break off relations with his brother for more than 3 days and three nights. And the one amongst these two people who starts the conversation first, the one who amongst these two people starts the conversation first will also take the lead in going towards paradise. In relation to this, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he came to his knowledge. He found out that the two grandsons of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a disagreement. Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Sayyidina Imam Hussein, they had a disagreement amongst themselves. So he went to Sayyidina Imam Hussein. And he said to him, people follow you, people respect you, and you are from the blessed family. Yeah? You go to your brother. We believe that you two brothers have had a disagreement. Go to your brother. You are the younger one. Go seek forgiveness from your elder brother. And Sayyidina Imam Hussein, radiallahu anhu, said, yes, but I've heard from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when two people break off the relations with each other, the one who takes the lead will go to paradise first. And I don't want to lead my brother into paradise. I want my brother to lead me into paradise. SubhanAllah. Kya socha. Yeah. But even when they have a disagreement amongst themselves, they're still thinking about each other. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he then went to Imam Hassan. And he told him the complete story that this is what happened. This is what your younger brother is saying. And Sayyidina Imam Hassan replied that whatever my younger brother Sayyidina Imam Hussein has said, he has said the truth. And then the two brothers met to each other and the disagreements were disappeared. My dear Islam brothers, these two young princes, yeah, these two young role models for us, it shows that the thought they had for them, that yes, they wanted to forgive each other, yes, they wanted to speak to each other, but they wanted the other one to be the one that led them into paradise. Nowadays, when we fall out with each other, sometimes it happens that we fall out with our brothers, we fall out with our sisters. But our intention is not, oh, let them come to me so that they take me into paradise. Our intention is, let them come to me because it's their fault. They are younger. Did they not know who I am? They should come to me and ask my forgiveness. So yeah, this thinking, this thought, you know, it needs to change amongst ourselves. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the deeds of people are presented to Allah azza wa jal on Monday and Thursday. Whatever good deeds you do, they are presented to Allah azza wa jal on the day of Monday and on the day of Thursday. And Allah Azza wa Jalla forgives everybody on these days, except those who bear enmity towards one another and break off relations. Those are jo rishte todte na, those people that break relations with each other, they will not be forgiven. So you may have done so many good deeds, you may have done so much good ibadat, you may spend so much time worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla, but if you've fallen out with your brother, if you've fallen out with your sister, if you've fallen out with your relations, and you have this hatred inside your heart, this enmity inside your heart, then maybe you will not be forgiven. Maybe you will not be forgiven for the shortcomings that you have made. You don't want to forgive your brother. You don't want to forgive your sister. But you want Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive you. So again, we need to think about this. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that the one who breaks off relations, he will not enter paradise. Jo rishte todta hai, wo jannat mein nahi jayega. Allahu Akbar. Have we ever thought about this? Yeah. But why do we fall out with each other? We fall out with each other for little things. We fall out with our uncles, with our aunties, with our parents, with our nephews, our nieces, our cousins, all our relatives. We fall out with them over little trivial matters. Allahu Akbar. And then what happens is, when that brother that you fell out with, jis bhai se aap naraaz hai, saalo saalo ke baat nahi ki, you're not spoken to for many years. But then when you hear that your brother's passed away, then when you hear that your brother has breathed his last, then you see people crying with tears. Hai mera bhai, my brother, my dear brother, my sweet brother, he's passed, he's gone. But then it's too late. It's no point of crying at his grave. No point of crying in front of you in the masjid when he's passed away. Go and see him now and seek forgiveness from him. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who becomes humble for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal will raise his status. You know, sometimes we think, you know, that why should I go to him? He should come to me. When we start, you know, that kind of happens to us, we get a little bit proud of ourselves. We think, you know, well, he's younger than me. He should come to me. It's not my fault. It's his fault. I haven't done anything wrong. Does he not know who I am? Main to bara hoon. Rishte mein bara hoon. I'm his elder. He should come to me. My dear Islam brothers, if you go to somebody that is younger than you, if you go to someone that is younger in status than you, and you seek forgiveness from them, nothing goes wrong. If you are humble in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, yeah, nothing happens to you. Ek muhavra, I've heard it, yeah? I've heard it, and it's in the Urdu or Punjabi language that people say that when you go to somebody that is younger than you and you seek for forgiveness, they get their nak kat jati hai, that your nose gets cut, yeah? They have this saying that your nose gets cut if you go to somebody who is lower than you, if you go and seek forgiveness from someone that is lower than you. Arey yaar, wo banda dikha de yaar jiski nak kati hai. I've not seen this person that had his nose cut. In my opinion, and I think you will all agree with me, inshaAllah, that the person who goes to somebody that is younger than him, goes to somebody that is weaker than him, goes to somebody that is not as powerful as him, and goes and he seeks forgiveness from that person, his nose doesn't get cut, his status gets lifted. Not only in this dunya, but the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this status gets lifted in the akhirat as well. So we should also always have good relationships with our family. Our religion, the religion of Islam, has taught us to respect our elders. And amongst our elders, the status of the elder brother is worthy of respect. Allah Azza wa Jal bestows the heart of the elder brother with the affection and love of his younger brothers and sisters. In the presence of the father, the elder brother takes care of the younger brothers and sisters. He fulfills the needs. And when the father passes away, the elder brother also takes on the responsibilities of the father as well. So the status of the brother demands respect. And we should give him his status. Younger siblings should respect their elder brothers as well. You should respect your elder brother. You should respect your elder sister. You should not backbite them. You should not talk behind their back and give them the respect that is due. Sayyidina Jarir bin Hazim, rahmatullahi ta'ala, said that once I saw a dream that my head was in my hands. In his dream, he said that his head was in his hands. And he did not know the meaning of the dream. So he said, I went to a famous Tabi person, Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Sareen, rahmatullahi ta'ala, who is an expert in telling the interpretation of dreams. And I said to him, this is my dream. I've seen this dream that I'm holding my head. Please explain to me. Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Sareen, rahmatullahi ta'ala, said, but are your parents alive? And I said, no, my parents are not alive. He then said to me, have you got an elder brother? I said, yes, I have an elder brother. He said, behave well towards him and refrain from breaking your relationships. Although Islam tells us that we should respect our elder brother, Islam also tells us that the elder brother shouldn't just demand respect. Yeah? He shouldn't say that, well, I'm the eldest, you know, you should listen to me. The elder brother should also show love and patience to his younger as well and give them the blessings as well, give them the piyar as well, give them the shafqat as well, and look after the younger brothers and show them mercy. When your younger brothers and sisters make the mistakes, then forgive them. They are human as well. They will make mistakes. So if your brothers and sisters, if your younger ones, if your children make mistakes, then show mercy to them. Again, I've said it before, we want Allah's mercy upon us, but we do not show mercy to others. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that the one who does not show mercy to our younger ones, does not respect our elders, he does not know the right of the Muslims and he's not from us. Muhammad Saniya. If he doesn't show mercy to the younger ones and he does not respect the elders, then he does not know the right of a Muslim and he's not from us. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also reported to have said, respect the elders, show mercy to the youngsters, and I will come to you like this on the Day of Judgment. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his two fingers. I will be this close to you on the Day of Judgment if you respect your elders and if you show mercy to the youngsters. So in our deen of Islam, it is very important that one, yes, we respect our elders. We always talk about this, that we should also respect our elders, but we should also show mercy to our youngsters. Youngsters, they make mistakes. Sometimes they do things that we don't realize and they make mistakes, but we need to show them our mercy, show them our love, show them our understanding. And only then will they get close to us. If our youngsters all the day, all our younger brothers, if our younger, our children all day, all we're doing is telling them off, they're not going to come close to us. They're not going to love you, they're going to respect because you never respected them. When they were little, you were constantly hitting them. When your younger brother was little, you were constantly taunting him, you were constantly telling him off, you're constantly pushing him away, you're constantly not giving any of your time. And when you're old, when you're weak, you expect him to give you time. When you're constantly telling off your children and pushing them away, then that day will come where your children will tell you off and push you away. So again, we need to show them mercy. Treat our younger brothers and sisters with kindness. It has been narrated that a rich man, he intended to perform the Hajj. And he had 1,000 dinars. And he gave this 1,000 dinars to another rich man. And he said, keep this money with you. And then when I come back from Arafat, when I come back from performing the Hajj, I will take this money off you. When he came back from performing the Hajj, he found that that person had passed away. He died. He asked his children about his money, but they said that we have no idea of it. We don't know anything. Our father passed away and we don't know anything about this money. So he wanted to find a solution to this problem. Obviously, 1,000 dinars was a lot of money. And now he'd lost this money. So he went to the scholars of Makkatum al-Karma and they said, at midnight, go to the well of Zamzam and look into it. And call out the deceased person by his name. Zamzam ke kuon pe ja ke us bande ko apne naam se pukarna. Call him by his name. Right? And if he is amongst those blessed people that have gone to paradise, then he will reply you when you hear his name. So he went out in the middle of the night. He went to the well of Zamzam and he called out his name. But he got no reply. He kept calling out his name. He didn't get reply. The next day, he came back to the same scholars and said to them that I went to this well. I called out his name, but he didn't reply. And the scholar said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We're afraid that your friend will must be amongst the people that's gone to the hellfire. So they said to him, Go to Yemen, and there is a well there called Barhut. It is narrated that this well is the mouth of the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. Go there at night and call him out. Call his name. In the same way that you called his name at the well of Zamzam, go to this well in Yemen called Barhut and call his name. And if he is in the hellfire, he will hear him. So he went to Yemen. And he asked people about the well of Barhut. And he went there in the middle of the night and he called out his name. And when he called out his name, his friend replied to him. And he said to him, where are my dinars? That person had given him the money. He said, where are my dinars? And he said, I have buried them at such and such place at my home. And I did not tell my children about them. Go to there. When you dig a pit there, you will find your money. He then said to him, what has brought you here? Why are you here? I had a good opinion about you. I thought you were a good person. I thought you were a pious person. Why are you here? And he said, I had a poor sister. And I had left her and I did not treat her kindly. I didn't look after my poor sister. And Allah Azza wa Jal has punished me, and for this reason I am here. Allahu Akbar. You know, we're here in the UK now. And if we compare ourselves to our brothers and sisters back in Pakistan and India, then we are, in most cases, probably 99.99% of the case, we are more financially better off than them. But how many of us think about our poor brothers and our poor sisters? How many of us try and help them? Yeah. You see, unfortunately, you see people, they'll help somebody else. Yeah. They'll help somebody else, but they won't help the poor brother and sister. And they make excuses. What do I say, sir? He doesn't work hard. Wo kaam hi nahi karta. Yeah. He doesn't deserve my money. Yeah. But you'll give it to somebody else. You'll give it in the masjid where the Imam Sahib will read out your name. That this person give £100 to the masjid, but you won't give it to your poor sister back home. You won't give it to your poor brother back home. That £100 that you're giving to the masjid so that people will say, oh yes, such and such body gave £100 today. That sister back home, that £100 might be a full month ration for them. They can feed themselves for a full month. Maybe pay their children's school fees. Get their children educated. But no. Do we think about them? No. Why should we think about them? You should think about them. You should think about your poor brothers and sisters that are back home that are not as lucky as you. You're here, you're in a situation where you're making money. Allah's blessed you with that opportunity. You know, when you go back home, when you go back to Pakistan and India, just look at the poverty around you and think to yourself that, you know what, I could be there. I could be on them streets right now, picking up that rubbish, putting it in that sack, picking up plastic bottles, going and weighing in the plastic to get some money so I can feed my family. Allah's blessed me. I'm amongst the fortunate ones. That Allah's blessed me with the opportunity that, inshallah, alhamdulillah, I'm in a situation where financially I am good. So what are you going to do with that money? What are you going to do with that money? Are you going to remember those people that are not as fortunate as you? When you left home, or chalo, maybe we didn't leave home, but our parents, our grandfathers, when they left Pakistan and India, they left poverty behind them. They may have come here, and maybe the next generation don't see, but that poverty is still there. We still have poor relatives. We should help them. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again, he said it many times, that the one who breaks off relations, he will not enter paradise. So my dear Islam brothers, good manners. Good manners are necessary for the survival of a strong and good family. For a family to survive, for a family to stay good, then it needs to have good manners amongst themselves. So as parents, it is important that we bring up our children with this proper tarbiyah, this proper upbringing. We need to teach our children to love one another. We need to teach our children to respect one another. And you know what happens? How do our children learn to love one another? How do our children learn to respect one another? They look at us. They look at us. If we don't respect our elders, if we don't respect our family, if we don't love our brothers and sisters, if we don't respect our parents, then do you expect your parents to your children to respect you? Do you expect your children who are brothers and sisters to love each other and respect each other when you don't love and respect your brother and sister? They're just looking at you. Whatever you do, they will do. Children follow you. They will copy you in every single way. They will copy you. If you love your brother and sister, then they will see this as an example of how I should love my brother and sister. My father, he loved his brother so much. My father respects his elder brother so much. So I should do that with my elder brother. My mother, she loves her sister so much. She gives so much love to her younger sister. I need to show love to my younger sister as well. And they learn from you. Allahu Akbar. And again, as brothers, we should not be jealous of each other. We get jealous of each other, of what the other brother has achieved. If one brother's doing something good, yeah, he's financially strong, he's achieved something in this dunya, then we get jealous of him. We shouldn't get jealous. And there's a beautiful waqia, and when I read this beyond before I came here today, this one waqia stood out with me so much. So please pay attention to this waqia. Ala Hazrat, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he loved his younger brother. He loved his younger brother, Mawlana Muhammad Raza Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala. And one day, Mawlana Muhammad Raza Khan, rahmatullahi, bought some gold bracelets. He bought some gold bracelets for his wife. Yeah? And he gave them to his wife. And somebody came to Allah Hazrat to tell him a tale, to try and create some enmity between him and his brother, and said to him, "Do you know what? Your brother's gone out and bought all these gold bracelets for his wife." Yeah? Listen to what Allah Hazrat said. Allah Hazrat said that if my brother, Mawlana Muhammad Raza, has got these bracelets made with his own money, if he's done this with his own money, then I will be pleased that Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed so much wealth upon my brother. Subhanallah. If my brother has done it with his own money, then I'll be happy, I'll be pleased that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave him so much. But the person that was coming to tell him tales wanted him to think that maybe his younger brother had used his money. So Allah Hazrat said, and if my brother has made that with my wealth, if that brother has used that money, which is my money, my wealth, and made that for his wife, I will be more pleased with him, because my brother considers my wealth to be his wealth. This is the love between two brothers. Rather than saying that, oh, if he spent my money, who does he think he is? Yeah, I want my money back. He hasn't got any money. He maybe spent my money on his wife. Yeah, has he not got his own money to spend on his wife? Look at Allah Hazrat. If he spent his own money, then I'm pleased, because Allah has given him money. But if he spent my money, then I'm more pleased. Why? Because my brother considers my wealth his wealth. This is the relationship between two brothers. So what is mine is yours, what is yours is mine. So we can see, to have good opinions about each other, to think good about each other is necessary as well. And nowadays what we see is, we see so many people telling tales, and it causes hatred between people. It causes hatred between people, quarrels between people, arguments among two people, and it gets to such an extent that, astaghfirullah, we even see brothers and sisters fighting each other, physically fighting each other, and it gets to the extent in some places where brothers and sisters kill each other. And a lot of the time, it is because of hatred. A lot of the time, it's because of jealousy. A lot of the time, it's because of telling tales. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, amongst you, the most disliked people are the ones who tell tales. The ones who create discord between friends and find faults with righteous people. People, they find faults with each other. They're sitting down at a wedding. They're sitting down at a gathering. They're eating and they're talking with the person next to him. Do you know him? What he's been up to? Do you know what he's doing? Do you know what's happened to him? Oh, yeah, you didn't know, did you? You didn't know about his wife. You didn't know about his brother. You didn't know about his sister. And telling tales to each other. My dear Islamic brothers, what is the benefit in telling these tales? What is the benefit in telling these tales? Do you think you'll get blessings by telling tales? Do you think you'll attain paradise by telling tales? Do you think you'll achieve anything by telling tales? What we should do as Muslims, we should always have good opinions about each other. Always think the best of each other. You know, you see people nowadays, they're driving big sports cars. Yeah, they're only 20, 21, 22, and they're driving around with £40,000 cars. And automatically people say, you know what? It must be drug money. He must have made that money dodgily. Why even think about this? What have you achieved? You've achieved nothing. What you have achieved is you've achieved the sin of telling tales. And you may also have achieved the sin of, you've changed the sin of ghibat. And maybe if that person earned it by halal means, you've achieved the sin of slandering him as well. Because you don't know. So my dear Islam brothers, what we should do is always think good of each other. Why? Because when you think good of somebody, you'll never get in harm. Kehte na usne zan rakhne mein koi nuksan nahi hai. Think good about people. If you think good about people, whatever it is, then you'll never be in trouble. But if you think bad about people, there's never any good in it. Badgumani karne mein kabhi bhi fayda nahi hai. If you think bad about somebody, there's never any benefit. You'll never benefit from this at all. You'll never achieve anything at all. But if you do husni zan, if you think good about your fellow Muslim brother and say, mashallah, he's got a nice car, may Allah give him a better car than that. Mashallah, he's got a nice house, may Allah give him a better house than that. Mashallah, he's got a nice car, may Allah give all the Muslims such a nice car and such a nice house. Ab isme kya nuksan hua? You've not lost anything now. You've done dua for your Muslim brother. You've done dua for other Muslim brothers as well. May Allah accept your duas. And inshallah, you'll get rewarded for this. But you think, you know what? Dodgy money, dodgy car, illegal money. What are you going to get from this? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, but backbiting and telling tales cuts off the faith in the same way that a shepherd cuts a tree. When a shepherd goes out to collect wood, he cuts trees. And telling tales and backbiting cuts your iman in the same way. But we're not bothered. Allah. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that of someone who tells tales, he will not enter paradise. So this fire of telling tales, you know, they say that telling tales in this dunya, it spreads like fire. Yeah, when you're telling tales, these tales spread like fire. That fire is going to spread to your grave as well. That fire of telling tales in this dunya, when you're telling tales about people and it spreads and everybody hears about this, when you're in that dark and lonely grave, that fire is going to come to your grave as well. Telling tales destructs our faith. A tale teller will never enter paradise. Therefore, my dear Islam brothers, we should stay away from telling tales. Habil and Qabil, they are the sons of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And it is narrated that the first murderer on the earth is Qabil. And the first person who was murdered is Habil. And this incident, I'm going to explain to you now. Sayyidina Hawa, radiallahu ta'ala anha, whenever she gave birth, she used to give birth to two children. One boy and one girl. And these boys and these girls, they were like, obviously they were twins. And at that time, because there were no other children, what used to happen was when she gave birth to the next set of twins, the boy from the first set used to marry the girl from the second set. And the girl used to marry the boy. So they used to marry each other, but they didn't used to marry their twin. So Sayyidina Adam al-Islam, according to the practice at the time, wanted to perform the nikah of a girl called Aklima, who was born with Qabil. So when Qabil was born, Aklima was born as well. And he wanted to marry his daughter Aklima with his son Habil. But Qabil did not agree, because Aklima was more beautiful and hence he wanted to marry her. Sayyidina Adam al-Islam made him understand a lot by saying that Aklima was born with him and that's why she was her sister and he could not do nikah with her. But he didn't want to listen to her. Finally, Sayyidina Adam al-Islam ordered, both of you present your sacrifices in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. The one whose sacrifice is accepted will deserve Aklima. So Sayyidina Adam al-Islam, he said, look, present your sacrifices in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Let Allah Azza wa Jal decide. I told you that this is the ruling, this is the Shariat. But however, put your sacrifices in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah Azza wa Jal decides, then no problem. So in that age, the sign that a sacrifice was accepted was that a fire would come from the sky and eat the sacrifice. It would set fire to the sacrifice. And whichever sacrifice it set fire to, that would be accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Qabil, he presented some ears of wheat. And Sayyidina Habil, radiallahu anhu, he presented a goat for sacrifice. When these two things were put there, from the sky, a fire came down, he ate the sacrifice of Sayyidina Habil, radiallahu anhu, and it left the wheat of Qabil. And so due to this, Qabil developed hatred, malice, jealousy inside his heart. And he decided to kill Sayyidina Habil, radiallahu anhu. And he said to him, I will kill you. It is Allah's mighty will to accept the sacrifice, replied Sayyidina Habil. And he accepts the sacrifice of those who are pious and sincere. If you had been pious, your sacrifice would have been accepted. So Qabil, out of worldly love, out of malice, out of hatred, out of jealousy, the first murder took place. And who did he murder? None other than his own brother. Because of love for a woman. Because of malice inside his heart. Because of jealousy, because of hatred. Because of this jealousy and hatred, he murdered his own brother. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that jealousy, it eats your good deeds in the same way that fire eats dry wood. You know, when you got dry wood, you set fire to it and the fire spreads really, really quickly. Jealousy eats your iman, eats your good deeds in this way. So we should not feel jealous of each other. Do not have malice towards each other. Do not speak ill of each other. And in the absence of each other, speak good of each other as well. And live like brothers. Mufti Ahmadiyar Khan Nehmi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, said that having a bad assumption about people, having jealousy, having malice, are the things which end the love. And Islamic brotherhood needs love. We need to love each other. We need to respect each other. So do not be jealous of what your brother has achieved. Maybe you've not got the same house that your brother has. Maybe you've not got the same car that your brother has. Maybe you've not got the same coachy back home that your brother has. Maybe you've not got, you know, in your mind you might think that, you know, he's got a better wife than me, he's got better children than me. Don't feel jealous towards your brother. Be happy for your brother. MashaAllah, my brother, he's got a really good house. MashaAllah, my brother's got a really good car. MashaAllah, my brother has got a really good job. He's very successful. And be proud for your brother, instead of feeling jealousy towards your brother. My dear Islam brothers, the parents' role is also very important in maintaining unity amongst the brothers, as well, amongst your children as well. You know, you need to make sure that your children, you treat them the same. If you love one child more than the other child, then that child will automatically start feeling hatred towards his brother. If you've got two children and you start loving one more, then this child will start hating that child. It's automatic. So you need to be very careful that when you praise one child, make sure you praise the other child as well. When you tell one child off, make sure you make the other child understand why you're telling them off as well. Because what happens is sometimes you get two children and one of them is you know, not naturally better than the other in his homework, in his schoolwork, in his exams. Yeah. So when they come at the end of the year and the school reports come home, yeah, and one child got a really good report and the other one hasn't. So you say to the child, MashaAllah, you've got a really, really good report. Your teachers are really, really happy with you. But you, you're a waste of space, you are. What's going to happen to his heart? What's he going to think about his elder brother? He's going to think, you know what, if my elder brother wasn't here, they'd give me more attention. So to that younger child, you say, oh, MashaAllah, you've done well, but you can do well better. Inshallah, next year we'll do better. And praise him and say, you know, give him that confidence boost that he needs. He doesn't need you to keep on pushing him down. He doesn't need you to put him down and say, look, you're useless. You're not good enough. You're not going to achieve anything. And unfortunately, parents do say this to their children. I've seen it where parents will say to one child, yes, MashaAllah, this child, he'll become a doctor, he'll become a lawyer, he'll become a barrister. But this one, I don't know what's going to happen with him. Yeah? What do you think that's doing to the child? What does your child now think about you? What does your child think about his other brother and sister? He's not going to have the respect there as well. And then the other thing is we think, Ya Rabbi Chota. Yeah? He's small now. The child is small now. It doesn't matter. It does matter. Yeah? Right from a young age, your child is there to give them the tarbiyat. They say they're like, a child is like wax. And you can mold the wax to any shape you wish. A child is like a blank piece of paper and you can write on that blank paper anything you wish. But in the same way that wax, as it gets older, it gets harder. In the same way, once you've written on that piece of paper, it stays there. You can't change it. So in the same way, the way you've given your tarbiyat to your children at a young age, it stays there with them for the rest of their lives. So we need to be very careful what we teach our children. If at a young age we teach our children, Kabeta, whoever comes into the house, you give salam first. Whether it's older than you, whether it's younger than you. And make them have that habit. Yeah? Beta, when we go to the namaz, you're coming with me as well. And bring the young kids with you. May your young children read the namaz. You know, you see young children this size, and they're copying their parents. They don't know how to read the namaz. They're rolling on the ground, they're rolling over, they're doing everything, they're just copying the dad for the namaz. MashaAllah, beta, you read namaz with me today. MashaAllah, you look beautiful, beta. Yeah? If our mother said to our beta, you know, the daughter tries to wrap a scarf around her head, she can't see properly, she's got half her face blocked, you know, she's not done a proper. MashaAllah, beta, you're looking really nice today. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. It looks really nice on you. From a young age, they learn to love the salah. From a young age, they learn to love the masjid. From the young age, our daughters learn to love covering the head. But what happens? We don't do any of this. Abhi chota. It's only small. And when the child is 15, 16, beta namaz paro. What? What's namaz? You're coming to the masjid. I'm not coming to the masjid. I'm going out with my friends. And then we expect our teenage daughters to cover themselves. They've never covered themselves before. Right from a young age, the training, the tarbiyat that we give them, the children will learn to love that. They'll learn to love the deen. They'll learn to love the salah. They'll learn to love the masjid. They'll learn to love you and respect you. Because from that young age, you kept your children close to you. But if from a young age, when you're reading your namaz, get out of the way, you're ruining my namaz. Yeah, and you shout to people, yeah, bacha lajo, take the child out of here, ruining my namaz. Yeah, the child's going to think, you know, what is it that my father's doing that's so special that I can't be there? Yeah? And he's not going to want to come near you. So it's getting that love, getting that respect amongst ourselves. In the same way, we've talked about brothers, but our sisters. Sisters are also should be given respect as well. And sometimes we see people that people don't give you respect. Your sister is someone that loves you without any condition. Your sister is someone that if you can fulfill the demands, they support you, they love you and respect you. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the one who has three daughters or three sisters, or he has two daughters and two sisters, and he treats them well and keeps feeding Allah azza wa jal, then Allah will attain paradise for them as well. Respecting your sisters, looking after your sisters, respecting your daughters, looking after your daughters and bringing up your daughters. If you bring your daughters up well, you will attain paradise. And in the same way, those sisters that are not your actual sisters, not your blood sisters, but they say rizai ban, you know, milk sisters, those sisters that have drank your mother's milk, they're called rizai sisters. Then sisters as well deserve respect as well. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also treat his rizai sisters kindly and take care of the needs. His rizai sister Sayyidina Shima radiallahu ta'ala was the daughter of Sayyidina Bibi Halima Sadia. And when people arrested her and she said, I am the sister of your Nabi, the Muslims brought her to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for identification. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw her, he immediately recognized her and tears came to his eyes. And upon seeing her, he spread his own blessed chadr on the ground and he made her sit there. And he respected her and he freed her and he gave her goats and he gave her cows and he gave her goods and provisions and everything. This was the respect that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave for his milk sister, for his rizai ban. And nowadays we don't give any respect to our own sisters. Allahu Akbar. And we look down at our people, our brothers and sisters as well. We look down at what our children are achieving as well. There's a true waqia with two sisters. Two sisters. They had their children, they decided to get them married. So they did the mangi, they did the engagement between the two sisters. And one day, because the sister who had a daughter, her eyesight was a bit weak. Her eyesight was a bit weak and she had to wear glasses. And one day the two sisters had an argument. And when the two sisters had an argument, one sister said to the other sister, I'm not getting my son married to you. Your daughter's got dodgy eyes. Your daughter's got bad eyesight. Now it hurt her more. Why? She knew that her daughter had weak eyesight. She knew that her daughter had bad eyes. But who's telling her? Her sister. Her sister is telling her. So the pain is even more when your own relative points out your weaknesses. When your own relative says this to you, it hurts you even more. When somebody on the street says something, it doesn't hurt you as much. So this hurt her. And what happened was, the engagement broke. The engagement broke and the sister, she went home with her son after falling out with her sister. She'd fallen out with her sister. She broke the engagement, she'd gone home. And when they went home, there were some pipes on the roof. Some metal pipes on the roof. And like in Pakistan and India, there are flat roofs. And she said to her son, Ka beta, you know them pipes that are on the roof, they need to be moved. They need to be moved. And so the son went up on the roof and started moving the pipes. And all of a sudden she heard a crash and a bang. And she went out and what had happened was, a pipe had fallen off the roof, gone into the eye of her son, and pulled out the eye of his face, from his face. He completely lost his eyesight. And then she thought to herself, you know, only a few days ago, I said to my sister that this is what's happened to you, that this is happening to your daughter, and today this is what's happened to me. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Yazid bin Shajara Rahmatullahi Ta'ala said that the way that the sea has corners, similarly hell also has corners, which have snakes like camels. There are snakes the size of camels and scorpions the size of mules. And when the inhabitants of the hellfire will make a request to reduce the torment, they will be commanded to get out from the corners. So they will get out from the corners and the snakes will hold onto them from their lips and faces and will remove their skin. They will run towards the fire in order to escape the place. Then an itch will be inflicted upon them. And they will itch so much that the flesh and the skin will be removed from them and only the bones will remain. It will be called out, oh so-and-so, are you feeling the pain? And he said, yes. And it will be said, it is for the trouble that you used to inflict on the believers. So in the hellfire, the punishment that you will receive, one of the punishments is that you will have this severe itch. And that itch will cause you to scratch off your body, scratch off your skin, scratch off your flesh, and all that will be left is your bones. And when you're told why, it will be because you inflicted pain. Pain on the believers in this dunya. So we need to tremble with fear. We need to think that what kind of torment are we giving to our, not only our brothers, our sisters, but the believers as well. So hurting a Muslim, hurting a fellow Muslim is also a very big thing. And nowadays we hurt people without even thinking. We hurt people and think, you know what, I've sorted him out. Yeah. Maine chala ke kiya uske saath, main jeet gaya hoon, I've won. You've not won, mate. You've not won at all. On the day of judgment, you'll realize who's won. Yeah? You think you're being clever by pushing somebody down? You think you're being clever by taking the rights of somebody? You think you're being clever by swindling and fiddling somebody of their business, of their money? You think you'd be clever by making yourself look good in front of people? You think you're being clever by making him feel low and you look good and people are praising you and looking down on him? Yeah, that might be true today. That might be true today, but a day will come when you're in that hellfire. And Allah Nakare, I pray to Allah that no Muslim is afflicted by this itch of the hellfire, where you were scratching off your skin, scratching off your flesh. Why? Because you hurt the feelings of a Muslim brother. My dear Islamic brothers, today we've talked about, very, very briefly, about good treatment of our brothers, of our sisters, of our relatives, and good treatment of Muslims in general. And your brothers and your sisters, they deserve that respect, they deserve your mercy. And due to the blessings of unity amongst brothers and sisters, the household will remain prosperous. Yeah? We need to make sure. So if any amongst us today has fallen out with our Muslim brother, our brother or our sister, then go and seek forgiveness. Jao maafi manglo. Go and seek forgiveness from your brother and sister. And if you think that you're so proud, you're so big that you don't need to seek forgiveness, then think about that day. What happens if tomorrow you hear that your Muslim brother has passed away? Your sister has passed away? Then will you not regret it? My dear Islamic brothers, please don't die without any with regrets. Don't die with regrets that, oh, if only I'd gone to my mother. Oh, if only I'd gone to my brother. Oh, if only I'd gone to my sister. Oh, agar kaash main maafi mangta. Yeah? Don't die with them regrets, because it might happen. So go and seek forgiveness. And don't think because it's his fault, it's her fault. Okay, seek forgiveness, maafi manglo. Right at the beginning, the waqi'ah I give you right at the beginning, we were told that he who makes goes forward first. Jo pehl karta, that goes forward first, that walks towards the person to seek forgiveness, he will be the person who leads them into paradise as well. So today you humble yourself. Today humble yourself in front of your Muslim brother and sister. And today lead your Muslim brother and sister into paradise, inshallah. So my dear Islamic brothers, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azzawajal forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azzawajal that Allah give me the ability and you the ability to learn to respect our Muslim brothers and sisters, learn to respect our elders, learn to give the tarbiyat and the upbringing to our children as it should be given, and learn to treat our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters in the right manner, and learn to have good thoughts about our Muslim brothers and sisters. Yeah? And don't have bad thoughts. Ameen bi jahin nabi l-ameen.